Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Wattier.
And I'm Tommy Welling, and you're listening to the Fasting for Life podcast.
This podcast is about using fasting as a tool to regain your health, achieve ultimate wellness, and live the life you truly deserve.
Each episode is a short conversation on a single topic with immediate actionable steps. We cover everything from fat loss and health and wellness to the science of lifestyle design.
We started Fasting for Life because of how fasting has transformed our lives, and we hope to share the tools that we have learned along the way. Hey everyone, welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wattier, and I'm here as always with my good friend and colleague Tommy Welling. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Hey Scott, how are you?
Doing fantastic, my friend. It is good to see you.
Yeah.
Excited to get into today's conversation. As always, we are going to be bringing you all things fasting and fasting lifestyle. If you heard in our catchy open, which I still love 220 episodes later, I just love that music underneath it. We talk about the science of lifestyle design and how we want to get off the dieting roller coaster, put our health first, and use fasting as the vehicle to achieve incredible results, keep the weight off for good. Come off those meds, reverse those lifestyle conditions, whatever it is that you are coming to fasting for. We want to be able to aid you on that journey. And we're going to talk about a cool big picture conversation today. And I'll say six types of fasting and their benefits, but I reserve the right, I should say we reserve the right, to maybe add one, maybe give you another variation of one.
Sure.
This is something that we have in the Blueprint to Fasting for Fat Loss as well, which is our free 20-page PDF on fasting. You can grab it. It's in the show notes, completely free. Send it over to your inbox. You can have that downloaded on your phone. But this is going to be a little bit different kind of take on it because there is so much more to fasting than weight loss. The majority of folks, considering the obesogenic, carb-overloaded, convenient, ultra-refined processed food world that we live in. You know, we live in that state. There's no way we can avoid that.
Sure.
You know, a lot of people will use fasting. It's become much more mainstream over the last few years. And they'll use it as a tool to lose weight. But there's so much more beneath the surface when it comes to fasting. And that's the approach in the conversation that we want to have today, Tommy. So before I pong it over to you, I want to welcome in all the new listeners. If you're new to the podcast, thanks for giving us a shout. Head back to episode one. If you want to learn more about me or Tommy, Tommy's the handsome bearded gentleman. I just got the scruff because that's what my wife preserves. I can't keep mine manicured like his. And plus there's way too much white in it these days.
Oh man, I'm getting there too.
My wife loves it. I'm like, no, we're just going to trim that down a little bit. Right. Go back, listen to episode one, about 30 minutes. We tell our story, share our story, share our journey. We're on this journey with you. But really appreciate y'all listening in. And if you're a long-term listener, part of the fasting fam, an OG, so to speak, we absolutely appreciate you continuing to listen in. And happy to be on this journey with you. So Tommy, six types of fasting and their benefits. I don't want to use the word insane or legendary or epic benefits, right?
But amazing.
Amazing benefits.
Even though they are.
They are, right? We get so many messages about been listening to the podcast, did a challenge, have been implementing what you've been saying, and just these incredible testimonies that come in week in and week out about people applying the principles of fasting. And not just, hey, the scales moved.
Right.
But like, hey, I came off this medication. Hey, my doctor says I'm no longer a diabetic. Hey, increased in all of these areas, right?
I mean, my doctor's been stumped for a decade and, you know, we've been managing the symptoms and all of a sudden I'm seeing relief for the first time ever. Like crazy stuff like that. And it's like, the only thing I'm doing differently is just not eating all throughout the day, and you know, which usually leads to some beneficial changes, maybe in some food choices and things like that. But I mean, it's incredible when you first start, you know, what the potential is for you that you may never have even seen any, you know, any hint of that before.
Right. And you just reminded me of this, this email that came in. I just pulled it up real quick in real time. I didn't think I was going to mention this today. Mm-hmm. But this came from Alan. And he said, you know, I've been binging your podcast since October of 23, nice. All caught up now. I know we get that a lot. Like, hey, make more. I'm like, okay, we're trying.
I like the word binge there though, you know, because right? It's like, oh yeah. Yeah. Hey, I used to, binge on
binge
food
in a healthy way.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I binge on the podcast. Like that's so much better.
So I want to give you a shout out, Alan, because he says, I love your simplicity, control, and take action approach, right?
Heck yeah.
That's why every episode, one thing you can take away. Just take one thing, put it in your day, start now. Don't wait, right?
Yeah. Boom. Get started.
And he says, to improving quality and longevity of life, fantastic mindset. I dropped 71 pounds
Ooh.
In 126 days following your recommendations.
Wow.
Both of you changed my life forever. My eyes are now Incredible. Wide open. I feel like I've been lied to all my life by the so-called health experts.
Sure.
Alan, I appreciate you. I know the feeling as well. And then he asks a few questions about schedules and ketones and some more advanced mm-hmm. Type things. And it's just really cool. So I don't want to make this a self-aggrandizing open to the podcast.
No, it's about Alan. That's incredible.
Alan, man, like you are the reason why we do this. You are the reason why we're going to talk about these different fasting types and techniques and benefits that you can get. Rather than just asking the question, hey, what's the best fasting schedule? Or should I just eat one meal a day? Because we do have a one meal a day resource called the Fast Start Guide. It was the first mm-hmm. thing we ever created because that was the thing that moved the needle for you and I, right? So
absolutely.
Shout out to you, Alan. You really speak to the essence of what Tommy and I are trying to achieve here in taking on the diabetes, blood sugar, and obesity epidemic. So
mm-hmm. I'd love to hear more details about your journey, Alan. Like
there's a lot in here.
Yeah,
oh, I can, okay. I'll forward this one to you. It just came in. It's like, he's got it all listed out here, but it's some advanced stuff. And today we're going to be focusing on really just the conversation. So I'll send it to you and we'll share more of Alan's journey kind of when it's apropos in let's say we do a ketone conversation or a diabetes episode, we'll
break down a success story.
Again, yeah. We'll come back to Alan here.
That's awesome.
And share some more. So, let's talk about fasting. So we're going to talk about different types of fasting and their benefits. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about kind of how our body is wired and the different cycles it goes through in terms of feeding and fasting, our daily rhythm as well. We're going to talk about a little bit about today's food and really just how to not get started, but keep going is how I want to frame this.
Okay. So when we talk about keep going, right there, it's kind of about not trying to change everything all at once is what I like to start with as far as keep going, mm-hmm. Because it can be tempting. Like if I'm starting out fasting as kind of just another diet, then it might be tempting to kind of clear out the fridge and make all these new food choices and. Maybe calculate my calories or my caloric needs, maybe some sort of deficit like I've done in the past, things like this. I might be tempted to do all of these things, but what I'd rather do is kind of focus on the simplicity of a starting point, of just the rationale that our bodies were innately kind of wired for varying feeding schedules. We don't really, we kind of have the luxury of having a lot of access to food and sometimes, ultra processed food as well, which we're really not wired to process in a manner that is conducive to good health. And so if we can kind of balance, what is today's food supply and potential food choices and food cravings and things like that with how we're innately wired, then we can kind of bring some balance back to that system without necessarily changing everything or at mm-hmm. least all at once. Like you might be inspired or motivated to change more things over time. And that's fine if you want to make some big, big changes when you're just starting out, but you don't have to adopt a fasting lifestyle is my point.
Yeah. And I want to set the stage with a couple of questions is like, we always, one of the questions we hear often is like, how long should I fast? Right. Mm-hmm. I've already alluded to this. The what's the best fasting schedule? Right. Well, the one that you can stick to. What's the best diet? Well, the one that you can stick to. What's the best financial strategy? Well, the one you can stick to. What's the best marriage advice? The one you're going to go do. Right. Like
consistently.
It's, consistently, right? Yeah. Over time. But there's always a couple other questions like, why am I actually doing this? Or what are the benefits or the additional benefits to my body out? Because now I've lost some weight, let's say. Mm-hmm. Let's say I'm in maintenance. Like, what is my maintenance schedule? Do I still need to fast? Is this, what does this kind of picture look like? And we hear these different threads from a lot of folks in our messages and challenges and emails and, you know, messages we receive. So let's go through some of the different fasting types. And the big umbrella, we'll start with just the intermittent fasting kind of window. Mm-hmm. And depending on where you look, that can go anywhere from 12 up to about 16. Well, I'll say even sometimes 17 hours, but that 16 hour mark is your basic. You know, if you Google intermittent fasting, you're going to see what we call a 16-8, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So that's an IF or intermittent fasting window. You're going to have, you can move the sliding bar left or right on what's an extended fast. What's, you know, mm-hmm. how often should I do those kind of things.
Arbitrary definition sometimes.
Yeah. It's depending on what side of the aisle you're on. You could argue each one depending on, which is why I said these in the beginning. Why am I actually doing this and what are the additional benefits, right? So if we're coming from that perspective, this 12 to 16 hour mark, at that 13 to 15, 13, 14, depending on the individual, our bodies start producing an increase in growth hormone, right? Mm-hmm. So we can see a 2X, 3X, 4X increase in that growth hormone. And why is that important? So growth hormone is not a growth muscle building hormone, but it is a precursor to the muscle growth process, right? We won't go down that pathway mm-hmm. now, but increases in growth hormone mm-hmm. will help your body transition into fat burning. It's the precursing. It's like the step before you get ketone production, where you switch from a sugar burner to a fat burner, mm-hmm. right? So growth hormone has that first step in bringing insulin down, tapping into those fat stores, short-term energy, then long-term energy fat stores. Mm-hmm. And this is where we're going to start to see like, oh yeah, if I skip breakfast, I don't have that mid-morning fog. Or if I move my lunch, I don't have that post-lunch fog, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to have less brain fog. You're going to see BDNF, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor, start to go up. You're going to see growth hormones start to go up. And you're going to see the stage being set for you to be able to go from, you know, insulinogenic environment of snacking and eating consistently throughout the day to this fat burning ketone production. But we got to go through this time period first before we can get there.
Yeah. And on the flip side of that, you instead of just prolonging when your first meal of the day is, if you start the day off with breakfast, like you're used to doing that, if dinner becomes a little bit earlier in the day, or maybe it's a late lunch and then that's the last time I'm eating in order to get that 16 hours in, that can be a great way to feel the benefits of that growth hormone increase as well. And then you start to tap into a little bit more adrenaline and noradrenaline as well. And, you know, some might argue that can be a little bit of food seeking, you know, evolution, if you will, or part of the growth hormone cascade and kind of just that metabolic switching and your body just starting to energize itself in a little bit of a different way. But either way, it definitely contributes to some of that mental clarity and that decreased brain fog that you mentioned. And that can be one of the biggest, like, ahas when people first start fasting. Is like, man, I feel like I'm thinking a little bit differently. I'm just like less draggy, like, you know, just mentally I feel sharper, you know,
which is absolutely cool. This is where we'll hear people say, man, I feel like a little, almost kind of euphoric. I kind of feel a little different, a little lighter, mm-hmm. not as fluffy. I don't feel as inflamed, right? I just overall feel better. And that's where it starts. Now, depending on your metabolic state and where you are, you may not feel that at 16 hours. And we hear that a lot from people. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times it's, what are the food choices and how consistent are you being with that fasting strategy at 16 hours, right? Yeah. So 12 hours, that's, you went to sleep and forgot to eat breakfast, right? 16 hours, okay, now we're starting to get there. And then Dr. Mindy Pels calls this autophagy fasting, the 17, 18 hour, all the way up to what we say is one meal a day, this 22 to 24 hour window. There's a warrior diet, a warrior mm-hmm. fast, which is that 20 hour fast. So again, remember in the beginning, we said you can really arbitrary kind of guidelines or parameters, field goalposts on a lot of these things.
Sure.
But the cool thing about that 17, 18 hour mark is you really start to see insulin come way down. And what that does is that increases the autophagy of your system, which is that kind of like a cleanup system. Your cells are going to go into, you can always think about it like, you know, you go to wake your kid up in the morning, you just rip the blanket off. Well, I'm awake. Okay. Your body's going, okay, I'm here. I don't have this energy. I'm kind of transitioning into ketones. So this is where you get some cellular repair. This is where we start the process of some gut repair as well. We'll talk about that at that 24 to 36 hour mark in just a second. You're going to start the detox pathway. You're going to really, this is where we're going to start to see at that 24 hour mark that euphoric feel. You're going to feel less anxious. You're going to have improved mood, right? So if you typically are stressed and depressed or wired and tired, you're going to feel like, kind of feel a little bit better here. This is where you're going to get start the immune response, because a lot of our immune system is triggered in our gut. You're going to start balancing out the adrenal hormones, the sex hormones, and the HPA axis. You're going to feel that mental kind of like aha, being like, man, I'm starting to really like this or feel good about this. I'm kind of surprised almost, is what we hear often.
Yeah, which is really cool, because if you can start to get consistent with that too, then you get to look forward to those feelings and go, okay, yeah, this is something that I really want more of. And then you can do the things to kind of repeat that process. So I really like it. And typically, especially when you're just starting out, you might see the scale move. This might be the first time you start to see the scale move as a definitely insulin resistant individual. I had done a lot, just like dozens and dozens of diets over the years. Really kind of getting towards that 20, 22 hour mark was the first time that I started to see the scale move consistently.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love this 24 hour mark, because then you're getting into some really cool physiology that takes place. Mm-hmm. So when we get to the 24 to 36 hour mark, a lot of people will look at this and use this from a non-weight loss perspective. They'll look at this as like almost like a gut reset, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to leave out the fact that this is really powerful in terms of a insulin sensitivity reset. So this 24 to 36 hour window, Dr. Fung talks about this in his intensive diabetes reversal management program, where he will use this 36 hour fast as almost like a metabolic reset, because we're going to be decreasing insulin dramatically. You're going to be increasing your insulin sensitivity and your effectiveness of insulin. And then when you break your fast properly, which is the second half of this equation with fasting, you're really going to stimulate GLP-1, which is this wave of injectables, these GLP-1 agonists like Wegovy, Ozempic, et cetera, that are being used off label. That's what they're doing, is they're tapping into, that's just one of the mechanisms, but they're tapping into that stimulation of the GLP-1. So you can do that with fasting, right? It's not as easy as just sitting back.
Side effects,
Without all the concerns, right? And the what do I do when I stop doing this, and the cost, and the fact that it's not really made for that, et cetera, et cetera. So 24 to 36 hours, this is where you start to stimulate the gut and you really start to see the insulin sensitivity come up. So this is like the reboot. This is where we see GABA, gamma aminobutyric acid. This is something you'll see in sleep formulas a lot. It kind of keeps you calm, right? It's a natural substance. It plays a role in a lot of the physiological processes that are tied to the gut. So not just only digestion and energy production and nutrient absorption, but also that healing property as well.
Yeah, it's incredible how you see this kind of balancing of important things happening within the gut as well as within the brain. We know now, over the past couple of decades, the intricate pathways that link between the gut and the brain, which is, you know, just, you know, groundbreaking research over the past couple of decades, which is it's intricately aligned with how you feel, what you're eating, how you feel, and how you're thinking and moving as well. So it's incredible how the two are connected, and how that process is enhanced by your fast and then your consistency with your fast. And then, like you mentioned, food choices too, because what I bring into my gut then affects the balance of these same neurotransmitters and hormones as well. So you have a two-way pathway that that is really kind of ignored by the low and slow and the calorie deficit, you know, kind of mindset, my old mm-hmm. diet mindset really like just takes all of that and the potential benefits of it and doesn't look at it at all, which is part of what I love about fasting and a fasting lifestyle is how well-rounded it is. And there's a reason why you can feel completely different when you start to do these things consistently.
I love how these are building too. So it's like, as we get to the end range of the kind of hourly compartment that we're talking about, mm-hmm. they kind of build on one another, right? So, excuse me, when we started at that 12 to 16 hours, you get to that 16 hour mark, you know, growth hormones come up. We're going to be prepping and priming for fat burning by bringing the short-term glucose down. And then BDNF, which is that brain fog reliever, the brain-derived neurotrophic factor, that starts to come up at that 17, 18 hour mark. Insulin comes down. You're going to start the cell repair. You're going to start the gut repair, start the balancing of the hormones. Then you're going to get past that 24 hour to 36 hours. Now the gut reboot, the GABA, the BDNF's at an all-time high, right? So now you're getting the happy hormones because a healthy gut produces better serotonin, better immune function, helps to restore the gut biome. And you know, you get that high levels of BDNF now. So now you're like, wow, I actually feel like I took the limitless pill. Like, man, I feel good today, right?
Yeah.
You'll see the improved blood sugar control because of that increased insulin sensitivity and that GLP-1 stimulation when you break your fast. So it's just building, right? Then we get to that 36 hour mark, and now we're going to be going 36 plus. So one of the things we just mentioned in that 36 hour range is that immune response, the autoimmune protective nature, right? So this 48 hour mark has been shown to be incredibly powerful for autoimmune issues. I've been working with a couple of guys, and they are working on and pretty much reversed 30 years of psoriasis using dietary changes, going more carnivore, doing more cold plunges, dopamine gut reset protocols. But they're really, one of the prime things has been using a 48 to 72 hour fast multiple times a month or pretty consistently, because that's when you see the most amount of repair take place, right? So this 36 to 48 hours is going to really be where we push the envelope into that, the full like pedal to the metal gut healing, autoimmune protective type range. The other cool thing that happens in the 36, 48 hour mark is you are deep into ketosis now. And that doesn't mean you're going to pee on a stick, which, by the way, those are useless in terms of what we want to look at in terms of ketosis. You can search our podcast, go back and listen to that episode on ketone production. There's three forms of ketones. The ones we want are the beta hydroxybutyrate. Those are not the ones that you're going to see in the urine. The most accurate way is to do a finger prick, right? So that's why we use Keto Mojo. You're going to see that you may do a finger prick at this 36 to 40 hour mark and not see ketone production yet. That's because there's a hormonal circadian rhythm balance to it as well. Stress and sleep and hydration and all those things. But you are going to be primed for ketone production because you are out of short-term energy at this point.
And you have to go in the basement.
You got to go get the frozen. You got to get the leftovers, right? You got to go in the basement, the Macaulay Culkin, right? Pull back all the Christmas decorations and all the junk that you've stored in the old box of albums that grandma gave you and the high school photos. And
yeah, go digging in there.
You're really going to be tapping into the ideal fat burning, especially if you're going to be wanting to target visceral fat or autoimmune, like we said. But this is where we're going to see, you know, that fat burning, that ketone production really ramp up. But remember, the process started with the growth hormone spike between that 13 to 15, 16 hour mark.
Yeah. It's all a process. You have this progression through these things. But the other cool thing is then when I'm making food choices to break that 36 to 48 hour mark, I'm going to continue to stress the fact that the longer I go on my fast, the more important that those next food choices are going to be, you know, in actually supporting the process, but also in how I'm going to feel after I break my fast. Because if I'm going into this longer range right here, and then I'm breaking it with maybe some a larger indulgent meal, something like that, and like I'm doing something very different from what I've been doing over the last 36 to 48 hours, transitioning into ketosis, burning off, you know, the sugar, the glycogen stores, then that's going to be a very big metabolic switch for the body, and I'm going to feel that too. I don't want to feel it. I've felt it plenty of times, and it can come as a surprise though. but just
right.
You know, beware.
And here's the other thing too is, you know, because we came at this not from a weight loss standpoint with fasting, right? Because we know the benefits of that. If you've ever done any length of fast, you're like, oh my gosh, this guy, like, what the heck? That was crazy.
Sure.
But it, there are, if you think about this, there are skinny folks out there. I don't mean skinny, but like in the, let's say, put the baby in the corner. You're in your healthy BMI chart. If you guys have listened to us, we know that BMI chart is not our favorite really in terms of anything in terms of health metrics, but there are correlations there that we do talk through and talk about. But you can be pretty skinny and have a really messed up gut or immune response or blood sugar imbalances or mood disturbances, right?
Of course.
So this fast can still be really powerful. It wouldn't be something that you would do often, right? If you don't have a lot of visceral fat, you don't have the belly, you don't have the excess weight on the hips, et cetera, and you don't have a lot of weight to lose, you can still use this 36 to 40-hour fast strategically to get all of those benefits, especially if you're eating in the standard American, you know, overconsumption. The average amount of calories that that an American eats is about 3,500. And it's crazy because we move less than we ever have before, right? So we're just in an overconsuming environment, right? So you can still get really good benefits to counteract some of that obesogenic food environment that we have. You just wouldn't want to do it all that often. And then, Tommy, this last one is really key. And I think we heard a lot about this when the world shut down a few years back. This 48 to 72 hour mark, yes, you're going to get that immune response. Yes, you're going to get deep fat burning ketosis potentially. But this is really where we're going to start to see the dopamine system be tapped into. And there's a great book, Dopamine Detox, a short guide to remove distractions and get your brain to do hard things. Yeah. I'm not going to try to pronounce the name of the author, because I can barely pronounce normal words. No disrespect, but my name gets butchered and I don't think it's that hard. So I'm just going to say, go get, if you're looking for more on this, Dopamine Detox.
Yeah.
So this is where we're going to really see when we remove food and other dopamine stimulating stimuli, we're going to recalibrate the body's response to those. So this, I love this. If you're struggling with an emotional connection to food, or you binge or you make bad food decisions often, even though you say you're not going to, this is the reward system. This is where we can tap into that higher mental state to allow us to build those muscles, those discipline muscles, not the I won't power or the willpower, which we know is fleeting, but this is going to allow us to really reset the dopamine kind of reward pleasure centers. And that, again, that starts in the previous window that we just talked about, because serotonin is going to be happy gut equals happy hormones.
Yeah, this is a powerful system. And if you think about it, like, food is so wired into us because, you know, we need it. I mean, and it's one of the great pleasures of life. But at the same time, we can become out of balance with how much, like, those cravings and, like, basically how much dopamine hits we get from certain foods or certain food thoughts or times a day and all that kind of stuff. So you have an actual resetting going on because it's becoming an extended period of time without making those food decisions. And also you get to feel what it's like to not have those food decisions have so much power within your, you know, your subconscious thoughts and just your brain wiring. And so it's really cool. You're creating an opportunity there for dopamine resetting. And then, so you have a lot of processes that are going together within the rest of the body, but then also in the brain, working together to build up to this point right here. So, I mean, this is a powerful interval. And I know a lot of folks who might be listening to this are going, well, I don't have fat to lose. How would I do an extended fast like this? Now, this might be something that you might want to put in once or twice a year, you know, to like kind of feel the benefits and have that kind of reset without worrying about, you know, undernourishing and things like that.
Now, again, we're talking, this can also be a fat loss strategy or a weight loss strategy for sure. We use it inside of our coaching, but
sure.
From a non-weight loss perspective, it has so many other implications, right? So when you remove the food, you're giving your dopamine receptors a break, right? And it's going to increase the sensitivity. Just like when you do a longer fast and you break your fast, you're going to give your insulin sensitivity, you're going to give that those receptors everything a break. So when you break your fast, it's going to increase the insulin sensitivity. You're going to increase your dopamine sensitivity. This is why I do cold plunges, because I'm doing it for the dopamine. I'm doing the hard thing. I'm not doing it because I enjoy it.
Right.
It's not fun. Somebody tells you cold plunging is fun, we might have a little, I'm a little worried about that dude, right? Or that gal. Like, okay, right? I'm doing it. I enjoy it, but it, I mean, getting in hasn't ever gotten easier for me, right? So it's like, okay, I need to keep doing this. I need to keep walking through it. So you'll see your mood, your happiness. You'll feel less of a need for the stimuli that you typically need. You'll a little bit more for me when I plunge, I'm a better dad. I'm a better husband. I see more gratitude on a daily basis rather than seeing all the problems, right? So these 48 to 72 hours, and I have a good friend, Jeff, shout out Jeff, used to you know, produce our podcast for us back in the day when we just started. He helped us with the audio before we got our feet underneath us. He loves the 72-hour fast. I hate the 72-hour fast. So guess what that tells me? I need to do more 72-hour
fast.
You need
the 72-hour fast.
Once a month, we do a 72-hour fast, right? Yeah. So because we are, in today's world, we are dopamine saturated and dopamine addicted, right? Sure. Overeating, sugar, porn, phone and social media addiction, scrolling, TikTok, video games,
opportunities caffeine. Are everywhere.
Mm. It's just like, holy moly, it's everywhere. Even I'll even say we're addicted to the negative news cycle, right? It's an election year. I don't care what you believe or what side of the fence you're on, right?
Dopamine.
But man, it's going to ramp up this year. So we need to be able to build resiliency. And this 48 to 72 hour fast, I'm going to peek behind the curtain. It's my least favorite, 62 to 66 hours. I want to cry. Not my favorite, right? Don't love it, right? Yep. But this is why it's really great for the overeating crowd, but it's also great for that dopamine reset. So the last one, Tommy, that I want to talk about is this longer than 72 hours. So most people will agree this is more the extended fast, right?
Of course,
So getting past that 72-hour mark is difficult for a lot of people. It's not something we recommend often. You can get great results before that. Walter Longo says do a seven-day fast one time a year, right? There's some great research out of the research. It's the name of it slipped my mind, but it's in Switzerland. If you just Google Switzerland and fasting, they have a great YouTube channel. It'll come up. But this 72 hours is really where we start to talk long-term immune reset. This is, again, outside of kind of our scope of what we do, but I do 1 5-to-7-day fast, usually 1 to 2 a year, usually 1 in the spring and 1 in the fall, right?
Yep.
So boosted immune system, stem cell production. This is where I use this type of technique too when I had my surgeries, right? Because I tore a bicep tendon. This has allowed my body to heal. It's great for musculoskeletal issues, great for decreasing inflammation, great for that immune boost. And then, you know, there's also some really cool things you can get into with therapeutic ketone levels. When your ketones get really high, we're not talking about diabetic ketoacidosis. We're talking about high therapeutic ketones. There's applications for seizure prevention, for, you know, Parkinson's. There's all these really cool things out there. But this is where your body is going to, we've broken through the dopamine reset. Now we're talking into this long-term healing therapeutic type stuff. So I know it's something I use a couple times a year. And you know, it can be really powerful.
Yeah. And the other thing is, don't forget about all the previous benefits from all the previous intervals, right?
Building, like, building.
A lot of those are still accumulating and continue to increase or may have kind of baselined or flatlined at this point, but continue to feel a benefit overall for the rest of the body. So it's just incredible when you look at the potential for all these different use cases for certain types of fast. And this is why, you know, we wanted to go over, you know, all of these different ones, because, you know, every single fast is a little bit different, even if it's the same interval as what you did yesterday or last week or something like that. So each fast is different, but your intention behind each fast might be a little bit different as well. So it's important to just understand the potential behind all of these different fasting intervals.
Yep. And that's it. We limited it to 6. I think I might have added a 6A or a 6B in there, but that's okay.
Yeah.
So if you're sitting here going, okay, what do I do next? Well, pick one thing. One thing you can put into your day-to-day action take an action. Just like Alan said when we read his message, he lost 71 pounds in 126 days following the advice, right? He was like, I love the action taking part, right? So take an action. If you're like, where do I start? Don't know what to do, right? That's, I think, in our outro of our podcast is like, what to do next? Head to the website, check out the free resources, go to the show notes, grab the blueprint, take an action to put fasting into your long-term strategy. So many additional fasting benefits other than weight loss. Tommy, super great conversation, man. Yeah. Appreciate it. Loved it. Hope you all guys see the value in it too. And we'll see you soon.
Cool. Thank you. Bye. So you've heard today's episode and you may be wondering, where do I start? Head on over to thefastingforlife.com and sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive fasting tips and strategies to maximize results and fit fasting into your day-to-day life.
While you're there, download your free Fast Start Guide to get started today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Fasting for Life.